Bible reading today, the first one is from 1 Peter 1:1-12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect, exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophet who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. And then we go to 1 Corinthians 13, and it is the last verse of chapter 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Our text verse this morning is from 1 Peter 1, verse 6. In 1 Peter 1, verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Just this part. And our topic is a living hope that leads to joy. A living hope that leads to joy. You'll see in the billboard, it was just a living hope. I changed that to a living hope that leads to joy. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Christians to whom this letter was addressed did not have it easy. They were exiles or aliens, scattered through the northern and central parts of Asia. They were strangers who the world persecuted them for their faith in Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross for them and us. And some of them lived there for many years. And they had a really difficult time. They could not own property. Could the strangers only live at a place provided by their employers? And that resulted in discrimination by non-believers. And the Roman government of that time. Rome was a one-world government. Very liberal. And it did not have a problem with you if you obeyed the Roman Empire. You were even allowed to serve your God, your idol, but you had to serve the emperor as well. And Christians and Jews were despised and seen as dangerous sects. The Roman emperor had a legal power to rule Rome's religious, civil, and military affairs, with the Senate acting as the advisory body. An emperor had control over life, death, slaves, aliens, like the believers in Asia. And if you were a Christian, you were in for a difficult time. Rome indulged in every pleasure and immorality they could think of. And I don't want to shock you, but an immoral and a promiscuous sexual behavior, including adultery and orgies, were standard in Rome. An emperor such as Tiberius kept groups of young boys for his pleasure. Nero had a male slave as his wife. And Commodus, you would remember him if you watched the movie Gladiator, had many male lovers who enraged the Romans by sitting in the Senate dressed in women's garments. And so this was a decline in morals, and that had affected the lower classes and slaves. There were religious festivals and sacrifices, vulgar songs, lewd acts, sexual promiscuity. Lewd acts were exhibited in the arena, the big Colosseum, to amuse the mob. Forced prostitution flourished especially in the heathen temples. And there were widespread gambling on the chariot races and gladiatorial combats, where people killed one another for Rome's pleasure, especially slaves, Christians against wild beasts. This was Rome. Everything was allowed. But for a Christian and the Lord above all, these were abominations. Terrible times. And so the question occurred, how do you live as a Christian in such a culture? And especially if you are but an immigrant, a slave with a cruel master, chapter 2. A corrupt government, or a wife whose husband is not a believer, chapter 3 of this letter. And Peter addressed all these issues in this letter. Beloved, someone said that a Western world and Australia are becoming increasingly like Rome. Not long ago, we honored our soldiers on Anzac Day for the sacrifice they've made. And now people are protesting to remove this horrible day because it's male aggression and colonialism. This is Australia. I'd also heard from our elderly members that when the soldiers returned from Second World War, the Second World War, World War II. How the people came together, waited for their soldiers, how they sang hymns, gave glory to the Lord. As Australians, how the Lord protected them. Now, there are serious investigations about our soldiers' behavior in Afghanistan, a war that we lost. Just gave over to all the things where Christians are now killed and persecuted in Afghanistan as well. And if you had a celebration of promiscuity in Australia, gambling on horses, abortions, euthanasia, the attack on Christian schools, and this pandemic. Just for interest's sake, ancient Rome also had a pandemic called the Antonian Plague, where almost 10 million people died. And it feels now very much like ancient Rome. Beloved, there are even plans to return to a one-world government where everything will be controlled. And what was called a conspiracy theory not so long ago is now openly propagated by the World Economic Forum at Davos, which is also called the Great Reset. In the coming preaching conference this week of the RTC, the Reformed Theological College, it will be about 1 Peter as well. And it's advertised with the following: the ground has moved under our feet. As followers of Jesus, what we believe is no longer seen as good news, but really bad news and dangerous news. And because we are viewed as unloving and divisive, bigoted, intolerant, we are increasingly feeling the pressure. We are being marginalized, ostracized, stigmatized, which eventually puts us in a very similar situation than that of the original recipients of 1 Peter, 1 Peter. And Peter's first letter is incredibly timely as he trains elect exiles and sojourners to live for Christ in a hostile culture. This is you, brother and sister. This is me. And so the question for Christians is, how do we meet these challenges? So Peter was writing these letters from the city of Rome, where he lived. And he called that city Babylon, Rome, chapter 5, verse 13. That's the symbolic name in Revelation 17, how it was revealed to the Apostle John on the island Patmos by the Lord. But it was also the false religion, called the great prostitute, full of blasphemies and abominations. And so Peter is encouraging believers to hold on to the living hope they have in our Lord Jesus Christ and to rejoice in him. But how can we hold on? How can we even rejoice? Verse 6 of our Bible reading, when we hear all these things, when various trials grieve us, verse 6. How can we, and maybe you are asking this question as well, I'm not feeling like rejoicing if we have a lockdown, never-ending lockdown, and now the pastor is telling us all these things as well. People are about to lose their income. Everything is becoming politically correct and anti-Christian. How will our worship service look after this lockdown? And will this be controlled as well? How can I rejoice? We are also grieving. and we are grieved by various trials, can we rejoice? It sounds like a paradox, rejoicing while we are grieved. To grieve is to have a heavy heart. Psalm 42, your soul is cast down. Is it even possible to rejoice with a heavy heart? Beloved, it's difficult to understand to rejoice in the Lord while grieving. And I must confess that I also struggled with this when I wrote this sermon. Because I'm honest, when I have a heaviness in my heart, concern about my children, my loved ones, our congregation, I'm sinful. I don't want to rejoice. But then the word of the Lord tells us how to do this. Can there be in the same heart rejoicing and heaviness? And Peter tells us, most certainly. Many of the Lord's children have known and felt this paradox, but it's far from being the greatest paradox of the Christian life. This is because we are children of Adam and Eve. And because we are children of Adam and Eve, we struggle with the effects of sin. We sigh with the creation as in childbirth. Romans 8 verse 22. When we are confronted with trials, with deaths, with pandemics, with hardship, with persecution, with tribulation. But we also rejoice because we are also children of the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are free in Jesus who died for us. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45 to 47 we read, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it's not a spiritual that is first, but a natural and then the spiritual. The first man was from earth, a man from dust. The second man is from heaven. We're children of Adam, the first Adam, therefore we suffer. But we rejoice because we are children of the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ as well. And in Jesus, a Christian can rejoice while we are grieved through various trials. And Jesus is now in heaven. And we are citizens of the kingdom, although we still live in this world. And I could find comfort that I was not alone in thinking like this. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon wrote, you will notice that your friends often say to you, when you are in trouble, there's a need for this. There's a need for your trials and the troubles that befall you. And this is very correct, Charles Spurgeon said. Scripturally correct. But that sentiment is not in our text. And yet whenever this text is quoted in my hearing, this is what I'm always told or what I conceive, that the great temptations, the great trials which befall us, have a need for them. Peter says something better even. He says there's not only a need for our temptations, but there's a need for our heaviness under the temptation. And what's this need and why is this better? So Peter explains this in verse 7 of our Bible reading. The need is that we can grow in our faith. That the genuineness of our faith is tested. And what will be birthed? What will come from this trial? What will come from all this heaviness is something more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire. And that will result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the apostles understood it like this as well. The apostle James said in his letter, chapter 1, verse 2, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." In other words, if you don't experience this, you will not get stamina. Develop perseverance according to the Apostle Paul as well. He said in Romans 5 verse 3 and 4, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope." And because of this, we rejoice. And so Peter wanted to give comfort. We are children of the second Adam, although living in this world. And we have the living hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord that will come again. And therefore we have hope. And as Christians, when we look at all these things outside, we don't fear, but we have hope. In the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 13, we read about hope, faith, and love. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love belong together. We hope because Christ is alive. He's coming again. We love because the Lord loved us first. What we've heard in 1 John 4 this morning. You know, the love of God abides in us. And we believe because the Holy Spirit, Christ is living in us through His Spirit. That's how we abide. And because of all these things, we can have joy. And so the Apostle Peter wrote his letter to encourage all believers and show them that the things that you are going through, it's a purification of your faith. Something much better will arise. However, while they're going through this, they must hold on to their faith. And therefore, encourage them to live honorable among the heathens. Again, amidst all those people who commit these things. They should remember they are strangers in the land. They still live in this world. They're the first from the first Adam. But they're also from the second Adam. They're not from this world. They have a living hope in the risen Jesus. And therefore they can rejoice. Therefore we call this Peter's letter of hope. And three times the comfort of hope is repeated in these letters in chapter 1 verse 3, 1 verse 21, and 3 verse 15. And this is a wonderful journey. So I plan to go through these letters for the next few weeks. Please read this while you are at home as well. We are sure that we have all hope. And because you have this hope, because you can't die in Christ, you can rejoice while you're going through this heaviness, various trials. All these things in the world. Don't be depressed about this, but rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice because you have hope. Romans 5 verse 2. We have the hope and example of Jesus who conquered death. And therefore, our joy is complete. And to understand Christian hope, we need to go back to Jesus. Jesus is suffering. In this world without hope, we have a message of hope that we need to share to people who are depressed and don't have that hope. Christ went through grief to excellent glory. This is our path as well. Through suffering to eternal glory. Then our joy will be complete. And we know about Christ's suffering on the cross. We know about Christ's death. his burial, his anguish, his pain and terror of Saul. And his suffering was unspeakable. But he took our infirmities, our sorrows upon himself. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. But Jesus is now risen. Our hope in this confused world. And so there in Asia, where the original readers were persecuted, were ridiculed, they were never forsaken as Jesus was. They had a hope in the risen Jesus, but also more that their heavenly inheritance was secure. No one could take that away. They were already citizens of the kingdom of God because they belonged to the second Adam. This is the message for you as well. If you have a heavy heart this morning, Jesus is your hope and salvation. Jesus was rejected by the world for our sins. Jesus is the living stone, the cornerstone of this church. And because of Jesus, this church will survive. The Apostle Paul called Jesus our hope in glory in Colossians 1 verse 27. And now Peter is doing the same. If we need hope, with the evidence in your heart, Peter comforts with the risen Jesus. You belong to the second Adam. And because of the risen Jesus, you have been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, brother and sister. You have a future in heaven. Hope started at a grave, Jesus' grave. And when Jesus was raised on the third day, our hope is the resurrection of Jesus, and because of Jesus, we also live in all eternity. Death has no hold on you anymore. When Christians were persecuted for their faith, blamed by Emperor Nero, they offered themselves in the arena. They did not run away from lions, but waited for the lions to attack. They would meet their Savior now. And so Peter was connecting hope with faith in Jesus. And you can have part in that hope if you believe in Jesus. And have a living hope. And if you have that living hope, you have all reasons to rejoice. Because of this hope, you will receive everything, a heavenly inheritance, an eternal future, total salvation. These are all reasons to rejoice. How can you have this hope as well? Only through faith in the risen Jesus. Verses 8 to 9 of our Bible reading, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so faith, hope, and joy belong together. Faith in the risen Jesus, we have received a new life, which gives us hope for the future. Not an uncertain hope, but an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for us. And our hope is that despite sickness, pain, suffering, even death, we are still alive in Jesus and we will receive our heavenly inheritance. You can have this hope as well, brother and sister, who don't have this hope. It may be hard times. Maybe lonely times in a lockdown. But for you who believe in Jesus, the promise is that your faith will never be crushed. Yes, you will be tested by fire. But something will better will come from it. The result will be praise and honor and glory in Christ and growth in faith. Even the churches grew when they were persecuted. That's how the Lord works. And so God's word is challenging you. Put your hope in Jesus. Put your hope in Jesus with your future. Put your hope in Jesus with your children. Teach them about Jesus. Put your hope in Jesus with your plans for tomorrow, your needs, your relationships. Put your hope in the Lord when you don't have hope, and pray for those who don't have this living hope in Jesus, those who don't have any comfort, that they too can hear the gospel. Therefore, you need to live honorable in your conduct amidst the heathens. Pray that the Holy Spirit will also change their hearts so that your life will be a letter of Christ and the gospel. For some, heaviness and trials can be overbearing. There's little joy at the moment. Remember that God sent Jesus to die in our place. Remember that we were made free so that we can live. That Jesus is risen so that we can live in all eternity. And this is joy. I want to send you home this morning with practical guidelines to abide in Jesus' joy. According to John 15, verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. How should we do this? Five things. Reading and studying God's words. When you are busy with this, you will experience great joy. 1 John 1 verse 4, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Through the word of God, we are strengthened, comforted, and educated completely. The second thing is through praying. God gave his spirit to those who pray. And Jesus taught us that as certain we will give to our friend in need, even more our Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And what we need spiritually, but also physically. If you want to experience joy, ask the Lord for this. David asked the Lord for his joy in Psalm 39 after he lost his son, Absalom, so that I can be glad again. Ask the Lord for that. The third thing is full submission to the Lord's will. Luke 10 verse 21, we hear that Jesus was full of joy. Jesus was going and was awaiting a trial and persecution and a cross, but he was full of joy. Why? Because he was completely submissive to his Father's will. His joy was the joy of complete and continual submission to the will of his Father in heaven. And when we accept suffering from the Lord's hand, then our joy will be full indeed. And we pray, let our will be done. The fourth thing is to be part of the Lord's church. In the church of God, you will be comforted. In the church of the Lord, you will be nurtured through the sacraments. In the church of the Lord, when you are lonely, you will be visited. And with brothers and sisters in the Lord, you will praise the Lord. The church is the light in this dark world. And when Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And to have the light is to have Jesus, have peace, have joy. And the Lord has given that to his church. That was the Lord's plan. Be part of the Lord's church. The last thing. Our Christian experience should be marked by joy. joy when reading God's word. That's Jeremiah 5 verse 16. Joy in prayer, John 16 verse 24. Joy in the midst of trials, James 1 verse 2. When we suffer, Acts 5 verse 41. Joy when we serve one another, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 24. And if you follow these things, you will even have joy at this journey's end, when your life ends. Hebrews 12 verse 22. All these things are complete joy when you go through various trials. Do you have that joy? This joy is only to be found in Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise your name that we can come with the heaviness in our heart to you. And we know that suffering produces perseverance, that you are busy with my life, that my faith and every Christian's faith is being strengthened as with fire. That we shouldn't fear, but be joyful, because we have all hope. We have hope in the risen Jesus. We are children of the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our comfort, that we don't belong to ourselves, but to our wonderful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your comfort this morning. We thank you that you are giving your joy through your Spirit. And you give this through faith. You give this through hope and love. We pray for your church, Lord. We pray that we will stand secure, that we will hold on to your words, that we will never look to the world for our pleasures, for our joy, but only to you. In Jesus' name, amen.